This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Happy Friday to you. This is Chris Brown, your host. You are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If this is your first time tuning in, I want to especially welcome you. We pray that you stick around for the next 25 minutes. We pray that you're equipped, that you're encouraged, you're empowered with more hope than you had when you started listening. I don't know if you're making plans for this weekend or not. It's right around the corner. Have you ever thought about asking God for help when you're considering your weekend plans? Like, oh, that's just recreation, no big deal. But let me throw something your way. By the way, if you'd like to call in, phone number is 866-357-3283. It's 866-357-3283. And you can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Back to what we were saying about the weekend plans. Psalm 37, verse 23 said, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him." He can make our steps firm, not only when it comes to navigating through some tension or a conflict, but also in some of the what seems to be trivial things, you know, how we spend our time on the weekend. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." You got to commit the weekend to him and he will help you with the plans. We've got to remember, as we steward this life, we're not just talking about money. We steward our time as well. So as you're making your plans for this weekend, ask God what he'd like for you to do with the time that he's given you. He's given you time this weekend. And there might be parts of that that's just flat out lay around and just replenish. But there's going to be some other times where he's going to ask you to be a little bit intentional. Get outside that comfort zone. That's right. I know I just convicted all of us, myself included. Just a Friday thought for you. Again, phone lines are open. And it looks like we've got Daniel calling in from Austin, Texas. Daniel, how are you?
Doing good, sir.
Very good. How can I serve you?
Yeah, hey, my question today is, I have a few credit card debts.
Mm-hmm.
I have three credit card debts and I have two personal loans. I'm making minimum payment on all my credit card debts, and they range between one's $3,300, the other one is $1,600, and the other one's $1,300.
Okay.
And I was thinking of taking out a personal loan out of one of the personal loans I already have. I can add an extra about $6,000 to it, mm-hmm. and go ahead and use that and pay off the credit card debts. And that way I'm stopped paying minimum payment and I just focus on now tackling those two loans instead of the five.
Uh-huh. And what would be the drawbacks? You know, if it's like a full-fledged debt consolidation, this sounds like a type of consolidation, but it's not necessarily the consolidation company, right?
Correct.
This is you consolidating.
Yes, correct.
Is there any drawbacks as far as rates or the longevity of the loan?
The rate that they're going to give me is about 16%, and the credit card debts are right in around 20 and 25 debt.
Okay, so you're
25%.
If we're thinking through this, Proverbs 6:5, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. This move allows you to do that, to free yourself faster. Is that what you're saying? You're saying that you would only be doing this not because of ease, not because of convenience, not because I wanted to have a lesser payment, but it's because I can pay off my debt faster.
Correct. Because if I stay at minimum payment right now, I'm not paying anything. I'm just basically paying interest on these these credit card debts.
Is there a way that you can step your foot on the gas pedal without doing that? Like, just do it anyway. Like, you could get rid of the, instead of making minimum payments, you can just crush them all the way they are.
At my income right now, I can't. I'm right now at as much as I can. Okay. Between my housing and I make 20 an hour, 40 hours a week. So, okay. You know, my income is about $2,200 a month.
Okay. Well, when in these kind of conversations, Daniel, what I try to tell people is there's a difference between being able to pay your payment easier and these kind of scenarios and paying it off easier. And if your intent is to pay it off easier and faster, that's one thing. But to be able to handle your payment better is usually a bad motivation. What we want to do is we want to increase our payments, not decrease our payments. We want to get out of it and we want to accelerate it, cut in other places. So as a general rule, I'm anti-consolidation. The best way to crush your debt is elimination, not consolidation. So, but in generally speaking, now your scenario, what you're explaining to me, if you can save 4% and it's going to allow you to make a bigger dent in this faster and you're not trying to get a smaller payment overall, then it's probably fine. Tell me something, Daniel. Tell me about your budgeting process. Do you have a plan? What's your goal? When do you want to have all this debt gone?
I was hoping to have it gone by the summer of next year.
Okay.
All of it. And I have a $16,000 loan on my vehicle that's included in there.
Okay. And so you've taken that next summer plan and kind of broke that down into benchmarks all the way to what you need to do per month?
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right. Very good. Well, it sounds like you got a plan. I don't have any problem with it. Just know in general, debt consolidation companies, what they do is they're going to decrease your payment, but they're going to increase your term and you're going to end up paying more interest and more debt in the long run. But this scenario doesn't sound like that's the case. So I'm okay with it.
All righty. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
You are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. The phone number is 866-357-3283. You guys heard me hint at the budgeting process, and it didn't sound like Daniel was in this boat, but because a lot of folks cannot get out of debt, they say, man, I can't do it. I can't make it work. I can't get past minimum payments. A lot of it goes back to the budgeting process. We're not squeezing every dollar and maximizing every dollar like we should, and we've got to have a plan. In Luke 14, verses 25 through 30, Jesus is talking about the cost of being a disciple. It's not necessarily talking about money, but he gets into an analogy that is great for us all to hear. In verse 25, it says, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be a disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everything else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. I mean, you've got to go after it. You've got to make sure, and it doesn't really mean hate. It just means you've got to follow me with intensity. Yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. You've got to go after me. Well, I've got to be your God. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Talk about the urgency, the importance of going after it with everything you got. But here's the analogy used in verse 28. But don't begin until you count the cost. Don't begin becoming a disciple until you understand what it means. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone will laugh at you. They'd say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. So that's why I brought up the budgeting process. Many of us are living this life. We got no plan. We got no blueprint. We wouldn't start building a house today without a blueprint, would we? Right. We've got to have a blueprint. What is the vision for our life? Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Then you got to know that vision and then break it into benchmarks, break it into increments that go down all the way to a month. Now, how do I work the plan every month to get to the construction of this building that he's talking about in verse 28? To get to the vision, the plan. And so that's why I hinted at that budgeting process. Many of us, the biggest issue we're having with our finances is not having a plan. The foundation to personal finance conceptually is contentment, but practically it's the budget. If you can work in contentment and have a plan, you're in a really, really good spot. And you don't have to call it a budget. And you know, the dreaded B word, right? You can call it whatever you want. Call it a cash flow plan. You can call it a spending plan. Spending plan is kind of liberating, right? You can name it after your dog if you want to. Name it after a Disney character. Just have a stinking plan. Got an email here from Marilyn. Of course, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Marilyn says, I'm 62 years old and started drawing my retirement pension, which is $1,647, and withdrawing $425 out of my IRA monthly. Due to the drop in the market and my monthly withdrawal of $425, my IRA has dropped to $155,000. Should I stop my IRA deduction and start Social Security withdrawal? I wanted to wait until I'm 66 for the full Social Security amount, but my fear is my depleting IRA fund. Marilyn, this is a very, very valid question. Of course, there are many variables that I do not know here. But first, I would tell you to go back to your budget process and make sure you're living in a way that maybe this $425 withdrawal is not even necessary, that you are looking towards this, this $425 is really hurting me. You might not have to do that. So I would tighten up the budget a little bit. Of course, make sure you're out of debt and have an emergency fund. But when it comes to this income preservation, I mean, you're 62 years old and only looking at $155,000. That's a very valid concern for an early retiree. I would strongly recommend you sit down with one of our investment professionals, SmartVestor Pro, to make sure that your investments are, that they're all in the right places and they're all being maximized. And then you mentioned Social Security. There are huge advantages to not pulling that until you're 70, if you can, to wait until you can, until you have to. That's something I'd rather you not do. I'd suggest you run the numbers on that. The difference between pulling it at 62, pulling it at 66, and pulling it at 70. The difference is absolutely staggering. So if you can avoid that, I would do that. But remember though, okay, that $155,000, remember that big chunk? Think long term. You're only 62. Research shows that you've got another 20, 30 plus years, okay? So make sure that you're thinking long term. Just because you're 62, don't start thinking short term. Then make sure that you're maximizing the IRA, run the numbers on the Social Security, and then make an educated decision. All right, folks, if you've been thinking about investing lately, it's hard to dive right in. You need to know how it works and why you actually need to invest. Well, imagine working with an investing professional who explains every detail in a way that you can understand it, who offers guidance for your situation, who treats you like a person, not a transaction, who doesn't judge you, you know, because of your age or account balance or financial knowledge. That's what you get when you work with a SmartVestor Pro. So if you need someone you can count on to help you take control of your future, do what I did. Go to stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends to find a SmartVestor Pro right there in your area. Now, don't wait to get educated on your future. Your future's important. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and find a pro with a SmartVestor to get started today. Again, stewardship.com.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Hey, we're grateful for all the stories you've been sending, the testimonies. Some of you have been sending words of encouragement to others in our stewardship community. Keep it up. Call us at 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. Or you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, next on the line from Holden, Louisiana, this is Mike. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Chris. How are you today?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help?
Well, we were recently involved in the flooding in Louisiana, and my house is completely went under, and I lost pretty much everything. And I have an opportunity through my insurance, with my flood insurance, that it's going to pay enough that I could pay my mortgage off. And I guess my question is, with the debt that I have, which my mortgage is half of it, would it be wise just to pay my mortgage and cash flow my house to repair? I had a camper at one time, but it went under too, so I purchased another one to live in while I was, you know, displaced, because 90% of the parish that I live in is underwater, and most of the people can't find a place to live. So I just went and bought a trailer to live in for the time being, and that actually kind of up my debt a little bit on me, more than I like. And I'm just thinking, would it be wise to pay my mortgage and then just come back and fix my house a little at a time, and then once I'm done with it, just roll my money off into my debt or not?
Mm-hmm. What is there any restrictions to the way the money is used, or they just write you a big check?
They're gonna write me a check in the end.
Okay.
They wrote a $10,000 check just to get started, and then once everything's approved, they'll send me a check, and I can use it to pay my mortgage, or I can use it to fix my house, whichever one I choose to do.
Yeah. How much non-mortgage debt do you have?
About $90,000.
And what is it?
Between a truck and a trailer. I had the truck to purchase. I purchased a truck to haul my old trailer around with, and then the old trailer went under, so I needed another one, and then I bought the other one, which probably wasn't the wisest thing to do, but I had to have a place to live.
Uh-huh. How much is your truck?
Oh, I think it was around $39,000.
And how much is your home?
My home was $91,000, and I think the insurance is going to pay $96,000.
Okay. And how much is the trailer?
$47,000.
Okay. I'm not sure if you're going to want to hear my advice. From a financial standpoint, if you really want to know what's the best thing you can do for your finances, is to go get about half the amount of truck that you have.
You got
a lot of money put in that truck. So think about it. It's almost the same cost as your, it's half the size. It's half the cost of your house. What's your income?
Between my wife and I, it's probably about $120,000 a year.
Okay. So, and what's your other car? How much is your other car worth?
It's paid for, and it's probably worth about $6,500.
Okay,
on a good day.
the golden rule for what we teach here at Ramsey Solutions is that you wouldn't have car values over half of your annual income. So, really, the $4,600 or so that you've got in cars is not necessarily super extravagant, but if you're paying interest on that, that's crazy. You're gonna end up paying like $65,000 for that car over 5 or 6 years.
Yes, sir.
So you don't want to do that. So if you really want to know what the best thing you can do financially is, go get half the truck. Go get one for $25,000 or $20,000. And have it, paid for. And then work all your consumer debt, and then work on improving the house, and then paying off the mortgage. That's the order you want to go on. Because you're probably paying about 6%, 7%, 8% on the other things, maybe even 15%, and you're only paying about 4% on the house.
Yeah, I think our interest rate on the house is 3.75%.
Yeah. So, and we you want to get rid of paying any kind of interest on a depreciating asset as soon as possible. So that's
right.
The order I would do that in, and just
get rid of the truck and then just start paying on the house. And pay it off, or just go ahead and fix it with the insurance money.
Well, if you don't need that trailer anymore.
I need it. I don't have no place to live. There's no place to live in Livingston.
Yeah. So what? How much would it cost to make the house at least inhabitable?
Well, considering it doesn't have any floors or any walls or air conditioning or plumbing.
It's so horrible.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
I'm so sorry, man. It's got to be horrible.
It's what they call a pier beam house. I'm sure you know what that is. Mm. And when it went under, it warped all the floors and everything. So everything is out of it. And I can do it over a period of time by living in the trailer. That was the thing. That was my idea, was just to stay in the trailer until it was done on the side of my house and just pay it off. And just do it cash wise, do it for cash.
Yeah. But are you planning on living in a house for a long time?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And they have people coming around. They have people coming and offering to buy it just like it is, but
I'm
that's
sure
not
they
what
do.
I want to do.
And I'm sure
I do have a piece of property across the street that's paid for in full that I was going to sell off a part of it and use it for some working capital. It's got an old house that's basically in the same shape as what I got now, but I was going to sell it as is with the property and use that for working capital.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I would definitely be talking to a lot of local experts there on what your options are as far as the potential or the projected value of your home after it's fixed and repaired 3 years from now. I'd want to know that number.
Yeah, well, I think right now the value of the home is it was $120,000. Mm-hmm. And it's a small wood frame two bedroom house, and it was worth about $120,000 before the flood. Now they probably won't give you a nickel for it.
Yeah, wow. You called originally about this insurance money and should it go towards your mortgage. But your number one thing, if you want to win financially, is that your biggest issue is the truck, not the house.
Ditch the truck, huh?
Yep. Yeah. You're paying probably $650, $700 a month. And your peace of mind is sitting in the driveway. So that's too much money to spend on going to point A to point B.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, and I'll definitely sit down and talk with my wife about it this evening and tell her what you told me.
Okay, Mike. You seem very open-minded. I love that. Very good. Mike, let me
know. I got to be. I don't have any other choice but to be.
Yeah, you've got great spirits. We're very sorry about everything that happened in Louisiana, and we definitely just know here in Tennessee we've been praying for you guys. And your spirit tells us that our prayers have been answered, because that's not a natural reaction. You've got a very level head about this, and it's very impressive and inspiring. So you stay on the line, and we want to hook you up with the Total Money Makeover, that book, just as an investment that we can invest into your lives here from Ramsey Solutions. Okay.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, that's got a great testimony email here for us to finish up the show with. It's a email testimony from Shanti. It says, "Greetings, Chris. I want to thank you for an amazing show. It has truly encouraged me to become a better steward of God's many blessings. After listening to a recent episode, I decided to share my testimony regarding tithing in an effort to encourage others who may be contemplating tithing less than 10%, which would disqualify it of a tithe, by the way. Before, I tithe on my net income, but after listening to your show, I was convicted to tithe on my gross income. So I took the leap of faith. And to my surprise, I was completely amazed at how God worked in my life. I knew I had been walking in His favor, but after my decision, I saw God worked in areas that I struggled. Finances, time management, work-life balance. I received new energy. I so desperately needed to be a better steward, and I'm excited. I revised my goals, and I'm working to be debt-free a year sooner than the original plan. Thank you again for all you do." Folks, don't underestimate the power of a testimony. Acts 4:33 says, "And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Yes, the power of a testimony. Revelation 12:11, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And Paul models this for us. Galatians 2:20. He testifies, the testimony, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, the Christ who lives in me. You're giving the glory to God, not yourself. And the life I now live in the flesh, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a great way to wrap up our broadcast today. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Feel free to further connect with this show by connecting on social media. At Chris Brown On Air is the handle on all social media platforms. And this show lives at stewardship.com, along with plenty of other free resources for you to dive into. Well, don't forget, you can get all your investing questions answered by one of our SmartVestor pros by going to stewardship.com. Just click on Chris Recommends, and then Find a Pro is what you want to click next, and you'll be all ready to go with an investing professional right there in your area. I want to thank you all for listening in, and until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.